In the past couple of days, I have noticed some political posters have suddenly appeared. I'm sure you have seen some of them. It's evidence that an election is approaching. And this time it's for the selection of the barangay and SK officers. Now that's not the topic of the church, and that's not what I want to focus on tonight, but it is striking that today's gospel addresses a related issue, that is the paying of taxes. And by extension, the whole question of the relationship between civil authority and divine authority. So today we ponder this marvelous little episode from the public ministry of Jesus, where he responds to an attempt to trap him in his speech. In the past few weeks, we have been reflecting on a whole series of parables, which have been very challenging to the religious leaders. Parables about working in vineyards and about workers who don't do their work or who defy the rights of the boss, or about people who refuse to go to the wedding banquet of the king's son. And all these stories expose the hypocrisy and the evil doing of the scribes and the Pharisees. But because they're parables, they're stories, the religious leaders find it hard to fight back. They can't simply haul Jesus in front of a judge and say, this man told a bad story about a vineyard. It wouldn't be a charge. They can't charge him with breaking any law just because he told some stories. So they're furious at Jesus by this time. But what can they do? He's very hard to catch in his speech. So they give this some thought. And at this point, they take an interesting step. They decide to collaborate with the Herodians, that is the supporters of King Herod. The Pharisees and the Herodians were fierce opponents. They didn't cooperate on anything, but in this case, they made friends, sort of. It's a classic case of that proverbial saying, politics makes strange bedfellows. So here's the Pharisees and the Herodians collaborating. The Pharisees oppose Jesus because he's making his own interpretations of the law, and he's violating the Sabbath, so they think, and he's eating with sinners, he's a scandal, and especially because he's making the Pharisees look bad, exposing their hypocrisy. The Herodians oppose Jesus because he's proclaiming a kingdom, and it's not the kingdom of Herod. It's the kingdom of God, and so they feel threatened or afraid. They don't want him to upset the peaceful arrangement that they have with the Romans. Okay, so these two opponents they have their own ideas for opposing Jesus, but they at least agree on one thing. This Jesus is a problem for them, and they have to get rid of him. Now remember, this conversation takes place in Holy Week, as after Palm Sunday, and the tensions have been building and building, and now they're really boiling over. The Pharisees, they can't take this anymore. They have to get rid of Jesus. And they realize what they need is a clear statement from Jesus that proves that he's a lawbreaker. They want him to say something that will trap him, either as an enemy of the Jews or as an enemy of the Romans. They don't care. It doesn't matter to them at this point. They've tried this before. You know, they've tried to trap him in different ways. And they know that if they ask him about spiritual things, he always comes out the winner. So this time they're not going to ask him about the commandments, about which is the greatest commandment. They're not going to ask him about what we must do to be saved, or about what's the proper religious behavior, or what about the Sabbath, or what about ritual purity. No, what they're going to do this time is something very earthy, very basic, very simple. Something that he can't get around by saying something spiritual. They don't want him to launch into another parable. They want to force him to give an answer, yes or no. And so they come up with what seems to be a perfect trap. What about paying taxes to the Roman Empire? The Pharisees, in principle anyway, oppose the paying of taxes because that's support of the oppressors and it's a violation of their religious freedom. And the people generally agreed with them about that. No one likes to pay taxes. The Herodians, on the opposite side, they approved the collection of taxes because that's the way kings get their means to maintain their government. What about you, Jesus, they're saying? What about you? We know you teach the truth, they say. You're a truthful man. What's your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax or not? Lawful meaning the law of God. It's obviously lawful under Rome because it's their taxes, but what about the law of God? Is it lawful? Yes or no? It's a very clever trap. It's really clever because if he says yes, well then he offends the Pharisees and the Jews. And if he says no, he offends the Herodians and the Romans. Well, Jesus, of course, is not trapped. They're trying to trap him, but he has come to set them free. Free from their malice, free from their hypocrisy. So he immediately shows, again, this is not going to work again. And his answer is brilliant and very simple, just three short parts. First of all, he says, show me the coin. Show me a coin. Show me what you're really talking about here. It's kind of funny that they give Jesus money, not to pay taxes, but they have to submit to him in order to get an answer from him. It's almost humorous. Then second, he says, whose image is this and whose inscription? Looking at the coin, here, I'm holding it up. Here's the evidence of what you're talking about. Whose image is this? The Greek word for image is icon. Whose icon is this? And of course, the face on the coin is that of the Emperor Caesar. That's what governments do. Governments, the proper authority for issuing money, they typically put some official sign of their authority on the money. The government seal, picture of the king, whatever, heroes, national symbols of some kind. And so the coin itself answers their question. The coin belongs to the civil government. In this case, the representative of civil government, civil authority, is Caesar. So then Jesus takes his third step, the clincher. Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. And that's where the passage ends, the one that I just read. But if you look up this passage in the Bible, you'll discover there's one more verse, verse 22, and it goes this way. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. When they heard this brilliant response, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. Now, we don't know if they went away because they were so moved by the power of that answer, or if they went away so that they wouldn't have to hear another victory over their arguments, but they went away. There was no fight. Well, we're also amazed if we let this passage sink in. We're amazed because in one moment, Jesus, not only does he evade the trap, but he completely transcends it. He even uses their plot against them, or he uses their attempt to trap him in order to free them. An amazing reversal. He doesn't choose between the Herodians and the Pharisees. That division between them is their problem. He doesn't say, give to the Pharisees what belongs to the Pharisees, give to the Herodians what belongs to the Herodians. If he said that, he'd walk right into the problem. No, what he does is he rises above these earthly parties, he rises above their trap, he rises above the yes or no question, taxes or no taxes, and he shows how we can do both, how we can and should respect civil authority and divine authority, and not as two equals, and not as opponents, but in their proper order. Caesar in his legitimate and limited place, and God in his place as Lord of all. After all, what belongs to Caesar? Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. What belongs to Caesar? Well, what belongs to the proper role of the government? Elections, right? Voting, public safety, public order, taxes. Yes, we have to pay our taxes. That's a Christian responsibility. Even though governments are always flawed, they're always imperfect, they always have some element of corruption, but we're still, that's the problem of those who commit those crimes. But it's not an excuse not to pay taxes. It's clear from this. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and taxes belong to him. But what belongs to God? Give to God what belongs to God. Well, everything belongs to God. Everything and everyone, including Caesar. Caesar is one of God's instruments in the world. God uses even secular pagan governments. That's the fascinating lesson we learned from today's first reading. That's what the Jews learned. When God chose the Persian king Cyrus as an instrument of his own plan. Cyrus is the subject of this first reading. Cyrus was not a Jew, he was a pagan, but God chose him for the sake of his chosen people. He anointed him for the sake of his anointed people. It's amazing. But it shows that's how God sees civil government, part of his plan. So coins, money, belongs to the government. It's the currency of the world. But the world belongs to God. All of creation is stamped with the inscription of God. It all belongs to him. The environment belongs to God. So his order is what determines what we should do and what we should not do with created things. The standard is not our convenience or our arrogance or our economic interests. No, we are to be his workers, his stewards, his humble servants. Servants, stewards of the gift of creation. And that's what civil authorities are too. Instruments of God. So barangay officials that will be elected next week or whenever it is, 2 weeks, and SK officers, they're all politicians, they are servants of God in their right place. But there's one thing in creation that has been particularly stamped with the image and the inscription of God, and that is the human person. Each human person, each one of us, is created in the image and likeness of God. You could say we are his coins. If you pick up a coin from the government, you see government symbols, and you say, oh, that belongs to the government. If you look at a human person, you say, oh, this person is an icon of God. This person is an image of God. He or she represents God. Each one of us is one of God's coins, and we're distributed like the currency of creation in his name. When we're baptized, we are made instruments of God's kingdom, including by paying our taxes and by our service in civil society, all included. So, what Jesus says to the Pharisees and the Herodians in today's gospel, he says to all of us, to each one of us, he's giving us a basic principle for our service in the world, and that principle is, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God.